We are gathered together this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of eternity. We are involved in an ongoing study of our Lord Jesus Christ by means of the book of Romans. And if you have your assembly translation of the book of Romans, the first chapter of it, our translation for you, you don't need it this morning. So I commend you if you remembered to bring that, but you can put it away for another week. We're going to step aside from our study of the Lord Jesus Christ via the book of Romans to study the Lord Jesus Christ in another place in the Scripture. It's good to be with you from being gone in Alaska and then in Chicago for the last couple of Lord's Days. And I will tell you, you can ask a lot who went with us to the Christocentric Conference in Chicago how that was, but I will want to tell you about Alaska, and I don't know how to do it, because if I just take a few minutes, you're not going to get it. And if I tell you without any concern for time, then I'm not going to teach at all. So I don't know how to tell you about what God has wrought in Alaska 2 weeks ago. So I'll be sharing it somehow. Maybe Friday night. That's what I'll do. And some can't come Friday night. I'll let you know what we do. But for today, if you would turn with me in your copy of the Scriptures to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I'm going to read this passage for you that we'll, again, study the Lord through. I'm going to read this for you from my translation, from what we know will be the literal majority translation, right? The LMT. Should this get published, Lord willing, we're trying to do so, but of the New Testament. You can read along if you'd like and note the differences between your NKJV or whatever other translation you may have, but it'll be easy enough to follow along. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 43 through 48. Luke 8, 43 through 48. And a woman, being with a flow of blood for 12 years, who expended her whole living on physicians, wasn't able to be healed under any. Approaching behind, she touched the edge of his garment, and instantly her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who is the one having touched me?" But all denying it, Peter and those with him said, "Overlord, the crowds are impeding and jostling you, and you're saying, 'Who is the one having touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I knew of power having exited from me." But the woman, having seen that she wasn't escaping, came trembling. Having fallen toward him, she reported to him before all the people for what reason she touched him, and how she was instantly cured. But he said to her, "Be brave, daughter. Your belief has saved you. Be going in peace. All right, now really I want to speak to you from one verse of that passage, the last one. But to get us there, I'm going to briefly talk about the rest of it. A woman being with, verse 43, with a flow of blood for 12 years, who expended her whole living on physicians, wasn't able to be healed under any. 12 years, this woman is, I don't know that we could say hemorrhaging, because that's a rather intense word for bleeding. Don't correct me if you know. It's not important. But she is, if not hemorrhaging, she's got a constant flow of blood. And this is probably like a menstrual situation. It's very difficult to imagine that she would have some kind of cut or lesion that just won't stop for 12 years. You know what I mean? And that makes her, even either way, if it were from genitalia, then it's definitely earmarked as such in the Bible. But even if it's just blood, the law would say that she's unclean, ceremonially unclean, that she is not that she's sinful unclean, but in the types of the Old Testament, that which comes out of man renders one unclean, and the antitype is any production of the flesh, even righteousnesses. If they come merely from humans, is unclean. She expended her whole living on physicians. Sounds like she lives in the United States in the 21st century and doesn't have health care. She wasn't able to be healed under any. Kept having hope, evidently, because she kept expending that living. Approaching behind, she touched the edge of his garment, and instantly her flow of blood stopped. Now, some of the other synoptics give us her thinking that she thought to herself, if I just touch the edge of his garment, I will be healed. So it wasn't an accident. Instantly, her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, now we get the picture here from what Peter, speaking for the rest, said about her, or said about the situation, that this crowd, and this Greek word that is used here, or these Greek words are, that he's a lot of physical contact, that he's being bumped as he walks. You know, it's like a very large crowd. People are touching him all the time. Different people who are making their way to get to him, who are out there and forcing their way through that densely packed crowd, are finally getting up there. And when I was in India, a lot of times, because we're undeserving celebrities, they would, children mainly, be putting forth their hands like that in the midst of a great group of children or others, adults, and trying just to get me to just touch their hand, grab their hand, shake hands with them. And you could picture that kind of thing happening. People are touching Jesus all over. And Jesus, one of the other synoptics tells us he turned around. So he's going in this direction, being, you know, jostled with the crowd. And from behind him, someone touches probably the bottom of his garment. And Jesus turns around and says, and you would have to say this with some volume in order to be heard in a crowd like that, just foot traffic noise and people talking, so many people talking to each other and probably calling out his name. He probably had to say it with some volume. And so he turned around if he was going this way and the crowd is doing their thing, and this woman touches the edge, the bottom of this garment. Maybe it was the fringe that was commanded to be worn on all the blue fringe to remind Jewish men of the commandments of God in heaven. I don't know. But she touches the garment and he stops and turns around and says, "Who touched me?" Now when I say it like that, and I know my voice is low, I just want to be heard. I have to raise my voice to be heard if I'm in that situation. But it can sound angry. But all denying it, so all these people around him, denying it, Peter and those with him said, "Overlord." Now many times the normal word for Lord is used, kurios, but this is a word that means, it's an intensified form of the Greek word used rarely, but in the synoptics it is used. Overlord, like Lord of Lords. The crowds are impeding and jostling you and you're saying, "Who is the one having touched me?" Impeding, that is, it's making it hard to make any progress. There are so many. And jostling, that's that, you know, being contacted physically by so many. You're saying, "Who's the one having touched me?" Lots of people touched you. But Jesus said, "Someone touched me." We've established that, right? Everyone knows someone touched you. Jesus doesn't have to explain it. And one of the things you're going to see about the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage is that He is extremely, a word you may not be used to, but He is extremely, all the time, He is extremely laconic. What that means is He doesn't waste any words. He says very little, but we're exegeting what He says today. We can take what He says today and break it apart into tense, mood, voice, if it's a verb, into case and number and gender, if it's a noun. And we get loads out of what He said. He said very little, customarily, but what He said was packed, it was jammed with meaning. And so here He doesn't have to say, "Someone touched me." You see, He doesn't even waste words like this. He doesn't even say, "Someone touched me in a different way." It's understood that someone touched me in a different way. If it's, "Someone touched me in a way I know," it's obvious that I know. And you are talking about just a regular touch. I'm talking about not just a regular touch. That's obvious. When He says this, "Someone touched me, for I knew of power having exited from me." Now, I'm not the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not the Lord Jesus Christ. No one but the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Who knows what this feels like? But this verse gives us an indication that when the Lord healed people, He He says he knew of it. He doesn't really even say he feels it, but he is aware. There is some kind of either sensory or psychic, not in the bad sense of the word. I just mean of the soul. Some kind of extrasensory, some kind of perceptive way that the Lord was aware of power going out from him. He knows that because power goes out from him all the time, and in that it's the power of God, he can give away tons of it, and he never has any less. But he's aware of it when it happens. Even in a case like this, where the Lord in his humanity was not thinking, I'm going to heal someone now. Remember, he is the Lord Jesus Christ, the last person you ought to ever question what do they mean Christologically is me. Because I tell you about this undergirds everything I teach, that Jesus is God who became a man and fully God and fully man. And in his humanity, he wasn't thinking all thoughts that could be thought at the same time, like he is and does today in his deity, it not being the days of his flesh. I'm sure he's thinking about God because his thought life was perfect. I'm sure he's thinking about the Scripture. I'm sure he's thinking in terms of the will of God. And please listen to me carefully throughout the teaching, please. But Jesus wasn't thinking, I'm about to heal someone. Yet that sense that he had experienced thousands of times came upon him, that I find it amazing that power went out from him and he knew it. But the woman, having seen that she wasn't escaping, came trembling, and having fallen toward him, she reported to him before all the people for what reason she touched him and how she was instantly cured. I want you to climb into the mind and emotions, into the heart, we'll say. I want you to climb into the heart of this woman as she does this. I don't want you to read read the story. What we're really talking about is something about Jesus. Jesus healed somebody. Is that all you're supposed to get from this? That Jesus healed somebody. You see how powerful he is? That's what you go away with in this passage. You certainly go away with that in this passage, but so much more to that in this passage. In order to see it, I want you to feel what she's feeling. I want you to think what she's thinking. We've already determined, we've already established, she's unclean because of that flow of blood. I'm not saying she's sinful. I'm saying she's typically, in a typical way, she's unclean. I mean, as far as types, foreshadowing, prefigurings of New Testament reality go, she's unclean. But that means she's not allowed outside. She can't make contact with people. Haggai was told by God to ask the priest, if you take holy meat and put it in a garment, flowing robes, you could pick it up and put it in the garment, right? Even while you're wearing it. Does the clean meat make that garment clean? If the garment was unclean, you put clean meat in it, does it make the garment clean? He said, no. First he said, if you take unclean meat and you put it in a clean garment, does it make the garment unclean? They said, yes. So, just by association, you don't get clean. But by association, you get unclean. That's why associations. It's important who we associate with. It affects and infects who we are. Now, by that, I do not at all mean don't speak to someone who's a sinner. We're not Pharisees here. We're Jesusites. We're Christians, right? But I'm talking about close association. I'm talking about walking as they walk. The point is that typically, according to ceremonial, ritual, Mosaic, under law, legislation, she wasn't to touch anybody because if she touched someone with her flow of blood, they would be unclean as well. So she's not even supposed to be here. And yet, you think she's touched anybody? To get that close to Jesus, to be able to touch the hem of His garment. And how do you touch if it's low, if it happens low on His garment? How does she, the press is going this way, when you get down like that, then you've got angry people behind you who are saying something about it. You've got the flow of progress impeded behind you when you do that. She's definitely touching people. To get close enough to Jesus who is being impeded and jostled by the press here, she's definitely done that. And she's unclean. She shouldn't be out here. And here's the holy man of holy men. I mean, He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the God of gods. He's the holy man of holy men. Turns around and in this loud voice, and His voice may not have been as low as mine is, but it may have been lower, but His voice was, I will tell you this for certain, it was undoubtedly masculine. And to hear Him raise that voice and say, "Who touched me?" Now, she was afraid before. She's very much afraid now. And everyone around Him is denying it. He's not judging anybody. He's not censuring anybody. He just has to raise His voice. And He wasn't Bruce Marciano. You know, He wasn't happy all the time. He was matter of fact most of the time. So, everybody's kind of intimidated by it. And the woman realizes, I can't be hid. And maybe she has the idea that I would have. If I can just wait this out and just not say anything, there's a point where people will give up. Oh, well, they're too afraid to say something. And in her mind, she's probably thinking, he's going to give up by saying, okay, they got away with something, and they know they did, because she thinks she's wrong to do it. And maybe she's waited a long time. She sees this isn't going to stop. It's not going to end. It feels like an eternity to her. Okay. She comes forward, and she came trembling and having fallen toward Him. Now, I want you to think about that. I want you to feel this woman, okay? When you feel some emotion, anybody, just humans, feel an emotion to the extent that it has physical effects upon you. That is a very strong emotion, is it not? Physical effect that she is feeling is that she can't stop trembling. I don't know what it is about fear, but fear makes you shake when it's very pronounced. I'm sure she's crying. I'm sure she's weeping. And then the demonstrable, you may want to say dramatic, I'm not just going to tell him, but falls down. She throws herself at his feet and reports to him before all the people for what reason she touched him and how she was instantly cured. Now, what's she going to get now? This hadn't historically developed yet, but in these days, maybe she had been introduced to the fundamentalist Jesus, who's got a problem with everything. Maybe she, if this were something like this were to happen today, maybe Jesus, besides the long hair and extended goatee and effeminacy that he's usually falsely pictured as having. Maybe besides all that, even worse than those things was the how Jesus is depicted not physically in error, but the way he deals with people. Well, she doesn't know that Jesus, but she doesn't know this one either. She doesn't know what he's like, really. And so, think of it now. I shouldn't be here. I hope no one sees the spotting, the red spots on my garment. I'll be thrown away physically. They'll ostracize me. But I'm going to do this anyhow. I've had this flow of blood for 12 years. If I just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch his clothing, I'll be healed. Makes her way through the whole time. There is this high emotion that I hope I don't get caught. I touch him. As soon as I touch him, I can feel it in myself that it's over. That the thing that I believed would happen really happened. It's over, and you get, and this, I did it. I can't believe I got through. Who touched me? And she's like up and down in a matter of moments in her emotions. Fear, hope I don't get exposed. I'm healed. Who touched me? I'm scared more than I was before. Trembling, she falls down before him, and what's he going to say? Is he going to say what most rabbis would say? Does he say what the 99%, probably more, a point something on it? Is he going to act like most clerics of his day? Is he going to act like most religious people with position in his day? Woman, why are you here? Don't you know you're unclean? Whatever she's expecting, it's something bad. And she hears instead, verse 48, that's the rest of our time. I don't even need my text, I know it. He says to her, be brave, daughter. Your belief has saved you. Go in peace. Four short, laconic lines. That's the next four parts of our teaching today, all right? You have some anemic translation in front of you, something like, be of good cheer. Daughter, be happy. Not what the word means. The Greek word is to have courage, to be infused with courage. In a verb form, this is the best I can translate it for you to capture this word, be brave. Be brave. He's going to say, now, please listen to me if you're not. It's not that I'm saying anyone isn't. It's just that I'm very much spiritually exercised over what I'm talking about, and I want you to get the fullness of it. Listen. He's going to give her a reason to be brave. But as I thought today, particularly because he says, after be brave, daughter. I thought of women in our assembly today as I knew I would be speaking about this. And I knew I'd be needing this. I said, I never bring this. I've got to bring this with me today. I'm going to be embarrassed. All right. I thought of all of the sisters in our church, and I thought, this will be a personal word to, and I put a name on, this will be impactful to another name. This will be powerful for another sister's name. Whatever you have to deal with, that you feel you're afraid of, it's the opposite of be brave. I want you to take it personally. I want you to think, the Lord Jesus Christ, these words that He said, if they're only for her, then they'd never be written down for us. If Jesus did, if everything that were ever written, if everything He ever did was written down, John supposes that the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. So you have a high degree of selectivity in what is recorded. And as Paul will write later, things that were written, whatever was written for us, for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope, expectation. You may have certain emotional problems and you're afraid about what that says about you. You may have a secret abuse situation. You may have had things that happened to you in the past where you were raped, sexually abused, whatever. And that affects the way you function today because it keeps you paralyzed by fear. It may be that someone in our church has a... Never mind. It may be whatever. When I was in Alaska, it was regular, daily rape and molestation. Alaska Christian College, 30 students in the whole college, 30 students, 27 of them female. All but two of them raped almost every day on a daily basis. Until they found an outpost of Christian love there. I didn't go to teach. Do you know that? You think I go everywhere I go to teach. That's what I'm really valuable for, right? That's why they want him. Cheryl invited me to Alaska. She said, you'll teach my class when you're here, but you really won't. That's really not why I want you to come. I just want you, we're going to make opportunities all week long for you to just interact with students. All I want you to do, I want them to feel heaven. I want you to just love people. I want you just to invest in their lives, to be available to them. We're going to be making opportunities for that to happen. That's all they do. It's not about college. Boy, if you went to any college in the world, go to Alaska Christian College and go to just love people up. Be a student there, and who cares about school? Is that important? You have a doctor's degree. Is that important? Is that anything? Does God even care about that? What God cares about is that you love people. That's all He cares about. Because God is love. That's what He's about. You think He's going to care about something He doesn't care anything about? God could say, literally, I couldn't care any less. I think Zach's in the tape room back here. Yeah, there he is. Does God care about how much Zach can deadlift? Does God care about your appearance? Can't care about your appearance. Dress modestly, that's about all he says about it. And he doesn't really give you a lot of direction about what that means either. Alright. God cares about loving people. I got up one day. Some of you don't know Cheryl, who I'm talking about, but she's my contact for Alaska Christian College. Got up, said, I'm getting ready, I'm in the bathroom, I'm thinking, gonna go out and love people today. Okay, so whatever it is, I'll say especially sisters here today, but I mean, it's brothers too, man. I need Jesus something fierce. But I'll just direct it that way. Especially sisters, whatever you face, when you come to Fair Havens here, and this is the solace, and this is the place, I hear God here, and you go back to your real world, and I don't say that because this one isn't real. I say that one is real. But this is real too. We deal with reality is what we deal with. The Lord says to her and says to you, be brave. Instead of what you're feeling. Fear. Intense fear. Fear and literally trembling. Now here's what I really need this for coming up. The next one. Be brave, daughter. Now, you may have heard me. Some of you are later coming here than others. You'll still hear it. But growing up, if you knew, like if you're a veteran here, you would be involved in my life and you would be at my home often or at Luckenbach or church or wherever you are and you would see me. I would refer to my son, Corydon. I would refer to my daughter, Jessica. If I'm talking to you, I call them Corydon and Jessica. If I'm talking to them, and you can ask them, you probably don't even have to ask, you've heard me do it a lot of times if you've been with us, right? I call my male offspring, son. My female daughter. Now, you may have thought over the years, my wife tends to think that you have. You may have thought, that's very cold. You just address them by some position. And that a position that they have in relationship to you. That's not only cold, but it's rather egotistical. like their who they are is their relationship to you. You may not understand that, and that's fine because I don't do what I do so for you. But Jesus calls this woman daughter. Now, when I call, now you know I do this with both of them, but I'm going to zero in on Jessica back now. When I call her daughter, that is a relationship that she has toward me that is huge, that is so, it's not cold, that's so warm to me. She is my daughter. And Jesus calls this woman by this term, daughter. I'm exposed. I'm unclean. He's going to kill me. Be brave, daughter. That word, daughter, if power went out from him with the touch of a garment, love blasted out of him like water out of that rock with the word, daughter. Jesus here is a human being, and as a human being, he doesn't have children. In his humanity, this woman is not his daughter. But her belief has saved her. In his deity, he speaks to this saved woman and calls her daughter. So let's put them together now. The two so far. We've got two more to go. Excuse me. Be brave, daughter. You have every reason to be brave, don't you? If you're a daughter of God, you know, you can hurt me. If I go on to the campus here, and if I preach open air as I often do, and people always ask me, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with People are cursing at you. People are sometimes throwing stuff at you. I mean, people are rejecting you. How do you do that? You must be so bold, so courageous. You know what? I don't care about what they think. I don't care about them like they're my friends. You know, what do I care? What do you think of me? Contrary to that, you people can hurt me because I count you friends. I care about what you think. But I tell you this, I tell you the truth. Nobody can hurt me like my son or my daughter. Because the relationship is so high. There's so much of my heart wrapped up in that individual. You may not understand it, but I understand it. I understand the wealth of mercy that is in that word, daughter. Now, this woman didn't do anything to hurt him. I'm not saying he hurt them. I'm not saying my son or my daughter go around hurting me. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, that I can't. It's the level of care that he has for her. Be brave, daughter. Here's a reason. Your belief has saved you. It's not healed. It's not made whole. I don't know what you have in your version in front of you. It's the same word that is translated saved in eternal salvation. For by grace you are that. Okay? You have this reason to be brave. Your belief has saved you. You're a daughter by belief. Jesus told other people to be brave. They weren't always female. How about this one? He gives a reason, too. He gives a reason. Comes in the middle of the night, walking on water. 12 men inside of a boat, horribly struggling to get to land against wind and waves that are threatening their lives. The sound of that ripping wind, high enough to break these big, giant waves, and they capsize this boat, and one of them has to be the first to recognize it, but there's a form walking on water, walking on those waves. I don't think you picture it this way, do you? Waves like they think they're going to die. Waves like, big waves like that. And you get this picture like Jesus walking on flat water. Jesus is walking like up these waves, and as they go down, awesome sight. Somebody, if there's a form walking on these billows, and they think it's a ghost. They cry out in fear. You know the story. And remember, there's so much noise again. So Jesus has to raise his voice. And they're terrified. They're shrieking, screaming. Picture 12 grown men screaming in a boat, saying it's a ghost. And they hear this, something like they hear, this is literally the way it should be rendered. They hear, "Be brave! I am!" We've got a reason to be brave. Jesus is Yahweh. Jesus is God, and I'm His Son. Jesus is God, you're His daughter. Jesus is God, and we're His children. So, be brave. Be brave, daughter. Your belief has saved you. Go in peace. Go back to the other side. Go back to the flip side of reality. Go back to the abusive home life. Go back to not enough money. Go back to fear of whatever. Go back to your physical ailment, like this woman will not go back to after her encounter with Jesus. Go back to yourself. That's the worst one. I got to go back to myself. Boy, it's really easy to be Christ-focused, Christocentric here. It's all we do. It's all we talk about. It's so structured. Yeah, as soon as you leave here, face the horrid reality of what you are in the flesh and start fighting with it again. Whatever you deal with, go in peace. Go in tranquility of soul. Go in quietness of heart. The laconic Jesus. Four four brief shots. Be brave, daughter. Your belief has saved you. Go in peace. What a surprising Jesus. This isn't the Jesus I expected. Put on top of all that was going on in her mind that she was a woman. Jewish men don't talk to any women except their wives outside of the house. If they did it, it would be scandal. If they did it at all, it would be alone somewhere, knowing that they'd be judged for it. Jesus has already covered this. He doesn't care what others think about him when he loves them. So he speaks in a throng of people, in a huge crowd, to this woman. That which was going on in her, horrible negative emotion of fear, shame, embarrassment, humiliation, to elation, I'm healed, to thrown down to the ground. In her feelings, when she hears, who touched me, to lift it up again. Be brave, daughter. Your faith, your belief has saved you. Go in peace. The reason I'm teaching this today is numerous reasons, actually. I seldom have one reason to teach anything that I teach, but I'll tell you one of them. As I was in Alaska, didn't know what I would teach on. They asked me to teach a devotional in the morning. I said, I'm not used to teaching devotionals. I'm used to teaching heavy doctrine for a long time, not some heartwarming thing for 20 minutes. You know, what shall I teach? And just thinking about it, getting nothing in the bathroom before we're getting ready. I said, God, you know, just give me what you want taught. I know I'm going to teach the Lord Jesus Christ, but where in the Scripture do you want me to teach about Him? What about Him? And this came to mind right away. I said, that's it. It's perfect. It's perfect. Having talked with sisters, some of them not sisters, you don't have to be Christian to go to Alaska Christian College. Having spoken with them all week, want to tell me your story. Just a way to kind of start talking with you. Tell me how you came to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Almost, it sounded like I heard the same story as many times as I asked that question. It was so similar. I grew up in a village with my house. My father would rape me every day. My brothers beat me. I've been in the hospital like many, many times because I almost died from my cousins beating me to death. You know, sexual abuse, it's daily, normal life in Native American and / Eskimo villages in Alaska. Alaska is like another country. I know it's the United States, but like another country in some respects. I'm thinking, so I go and I teach this, and in the midst of that teaching, there's the first one who runs out of the room crying. The way the room's constructed, I can hear them crying outside. There goes the second one. But you don't need to go to Alaska. They're all around you. Are you available enough to see it? Are you open enough to the Lord that He puts you in situations where you meet broken, wounded people. They're all out there. Now, you've got the only balm in Gilead. Psychology going to help them? Psychology is going to screw them up worse. Is family going to help them? They had family before they got into that problem. What's going to help them? Is it going to be their own willpower? That's about the weakest of the things I meant. What's going to help them? Is there no balm in Gilead? Let me tell you about the balm of Gilead, and I'll close. We'll be done. It started 6 minutes short of an hour ago. Most of our messages last an hour, so God forbid I go over. So I'll, in the next 6 minutes, I'm going to tell you about the balm of Gilead. Some of us heard it at the Christocentric conference this past week. The balm that would be in the land of Gilead was not indigenous to Gilead. It was imported from far away. They got it from a tree that had to be cut into so that the sap could be drawn out of the tree. Once it was received, and this balm, this medicinal balm, it would restore the life to the dead, that is the sick part of that body. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not from around here. He's imported, not indigenous to the earth. He comes from heaven. He is the eternal Son of God. He is God who entered into humanity, tree, wood, type of humanity. So a faraway humanity, the Lord from heaven. They gave me a book when I was in Alaska, Jesus and the Eskimo. The subtitle is, I love the subtitle, written by an Eskimo, one of the first to believe. I love the subtitle, Jesus and the Eskimo, How the Man from the Sky Gave Light to My People. The man from the sky. The man from a tree. From the sky. Not indigenous to here. Sent light, which is life. John 1:4. The healing of the flesh. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no balm in Indiana? Is there no balm in Lord Jesus Christ Assembly? Yes, there is. Yes, yes, yes. You've got it. They need it. Only question is, are you a servant to give it? Are you available to people? Do you love them? Are you merciful? Is that loving kindness ready at a moment's notice to be discharged? Broken, wounded, hurting people. Here's the balm. The Lord Jesus Christ. This Lord Jesus Christ, not another. Not the harsh Lord Jesus Christ of the fundies. Not the standardless Jesus Christ of the liberals. The Bible, Lord Jesus Christ, the coolest man who's ever lived. Get to know this Christ. Think about these things. I leave you with this, not my customary ending. Be brave, daughter. Your belief has saved you. Go in peace.